learning Hilchas Yichud, Baruch Hashem. Wow. Baruch Hashem, we learned Hilchas Yichud for 4 or 5 months. And we've been working sort of step by step, line by line through the Gemara, sugya by sugya, tzav l'tzav, tzav l'tzav, kav l'kav, kav l'kav, piece by piece. And now that we've really completed the key dinim, the key concepts in Hilchas Yichud, right, to take a step back and sort of put everything together in a more global way. Put everything together in a more global way, hopefully we'll accomplish several things. It'll give us a framework for our Chazara, it'll be a chance for us to Chazara together, and hopefully that will give further structure to your and Chazara going forward with Chavrusa. It also puts things into perspective. And so what we had seen as sort of disparate sub-sugyas here and there, we can now gather things together, and the structure of Hilchus Yichud will stand out more. And in addition to all that, in addition to the quality of learning in terms of a chazar, the quality of learning in terms of just sort of appreciating the forest as well, the trees, it also hopefully will help us to remember the dinim and to be able to think in a methodical way when you're actually in a situation. So what are my options? What factors are already in play, and what are the other hetayim that I could potentially harness, and let me see which one is relevant in this situation. So the truth is, we still have a couple of hanging threads that we'll address maybe next week. We never spoke about we'll get to one or two things as we work our way through it. Shir Zman, Androgynous, and then a little more in the mission of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. I think this is a good juncture to take a step back and to put everything together, and then going forward of the course of the coming week, continue to Chazar B'Chavrusa. So as we opened initially, Shech Tuz Nusach, that the Hilchus Yichud is a study of Kulos, study of Heterim. I begin by talking about the Isser of Yichud, thinking about that a little bit more, and then we'll begin to organize, as you see, organize the Heterim into three different categories. So to go back to basics, so you begin with the Isser Yichud, which, as you see, looking at the top half of the page is dedicated. Again, I'm sorry, we don't have a whiteboard, so instead it's the chart in front of you, in a more static, less dynamic fashion. But the top half of the page, the top section is the Isser Yichud, and the bottom section are organization of the Heterim of Yichud, and it's starting with the core Isser Yichud, which is, as we saw from the outset. We saw from the outset the Isser Yichud, according to most, if not all, Rishonim, is Daraisa, but has Dramadan expressions as well. So the Isser Daraisa of Yichud requires a combination of two factors. Number one, Beseser, and number two, the details of this Isser Yichud Daraisa. Number one, Beseser, plus number two, that the pair of people are an erva. Yichud is only daraisa if it's only two people, one man, woman alone. And those here are some more sheets.
Thank you.
Sure. Take it back.
I'll take it back.
Yeah, sure. May as well. So again, the Isser Yichud Daraisa requires a combination of two factors. Number one, Beseser. It's two people. And number two, that those two people are an erva to one another. That they are to one another an Isser Kares, either relatives of Isser Kares, or most commonly Ishas Ish, or, as we saw in the opening line of the Shulchan Aruch, we'll come to that again soon, Nida, even if the Gemara says Erva, Erva could be Ishas Ish, or Erva could be Penuya Nida, even if she's a single woman, but she's a Nida, in general, that is an Isser Yichud Daraisa. So some discussion about whether Isuri Lavin qualifies as well. So that's the Isser Daraisa of Yichud. Beseser, two people, and they are an Erva to one another. It's Drabanan if either of those factors is not placed. It's Drabanan if you have three or more people, or even if it's only two people, if they're not an erva to one another, which bizman hazeh that we live in a period in Jewish history when the halachas of tumah and tahara unfortunately are not practiced. So that means practically is that single women don't go to mikveh. So the most common scenario of a non-erva, meaning she's neither an ish azish nor an ida, is yichud with a nachas. Yichud with a nachas, even one-on-one, is this rabbanan, or yichud in the context of three or more people will also be maximum rabbanan. So that's sort of the way the isra yichud splits into two branches. And then a couple of four general dimensions to this isra yichud, and that helps sort of define to limb the isra yichud. And then after that, we'll proceed down to begin to collect and organize the kulos. So the four sort of broader elements or dimensions, the first two were gemaras on pei alpha and alpha. Malkan al yichud ein osra and yichud, the gemara told us that there is, if a pair of people, if a man and a woman violate isra yichud, they will get malkus for that. I got into the details, but certainly in principle, it's a punishable offense. The yichud in and of itself is a punishable offense, but at the same time, the Gemara said, "Ein osrin ala yichud." We would not, based on yichud alone, presume that, even let's say the woman is an ish azish, we would not presume that the znus necessarily occurred and that she's going to be deemed an ish azish shizinsa. And that pair of what seemed like very specific dinim expresses a certain conceptual understanding of yichud and also has a practical considerations. If you have a Shulchan Aruch in front of you, feel free to peek inside as well. The conceptual piece, Malkal and Yichud, Osra Yichud, that captured the fact, that Gemara Pei Alpha Malf, captured the fact that Yichud is in and of itself an intrinsic Yisur, which is was based upon the possibility, the risk, that, again, making up numbers, 5% chance that this sort of seclusion may lead to an actual activeness. So, prospectively, looking forward, am I allowed to engage in yichud? No, because it carries with it a certain degree of risk above a relatively low threshold. And if I did violate yichud, so I committed a crime, and that crime in and of itself is malchus worthy because I committed the crime of yichud. But retrospectively, I would say, yes, yichud clearly was there's evidence, there's edus that yichud was committed, so the crime of yichud was committed, the crime of yichud is a punishable crime. But I don't, the crime, it was yichud because it was a possibility, a mute possibility that it could lead to znus, but I don't assume that it probably led to znus. It's a possibility, but not probably, it's a mute. That's sort of the conceptual the conceptual message of Rav's comment that Malkal Yichud and Osra Yichud. Practically, that was expressed, we had seen this some time ago, in Sif Beis, the way it plays out practically over the last number of centuries that Beis Din doesn't give Malkus, is that Beis Din would issue a restraining order, but they would not based on yichud, but they would not, Beis Din would not make a paternity finding based on yichud. Now, if there was yichud, so there's reason to be concerned znus might occur. Okay, so or we'll the postman had spoken about a case where a woman feels like she's being stalked and she asks for a restraining order, and the Sif Beis discusses that. But we're not gonna. Beis Din would not make a statement about paternity based on yichud. Yichud means there's a possibility of znus, but not a probability of znus. So that's element number one, dimension number one. So that sidebar on top, malkin of ein osrin. Number two was mechur hadaber. That was the very next gemara and payoff from Ralph. The gemara had said not only do we give malkus for yichud, we also give malkus for based on a possibility of state for shmuel. Lo tova hashmuel, eli. Eli has a very difficult conversation with his sons, Chafni and Pinchas. Eli, you remember, is the first of four leaders who define Sefer Shmuel, and who all those four leaders do not lay a dynasty, don't found a dynasty within the context of Sefer Shmuel. Eli's sons are very unlike him, and Eli has a difficult conversation with his sons about the behavior they're engaged in, which is understandably generating terrible rumors. It's albana kilotovash. You cannot do that because it's behavior that generates at least the appearance of impropriety. So that itself, the Gemara intends, is also a punishable crime. Al, it's a lav. To behave in a way that would reasonably generate suspicion, chashad of znos, is in and of itself problematic. So that's probably equivalent to a concept that elsewhere the Gemara refers to as mechura hadavar. It's inappropriate. It's inappropriate. Regardless of what's actually going on, the situation itself is built in tzanua, the situation itself is inappropriate. And taking these two together, that was in a larger sense important, because he said whenever you think about a yichud situation, so you always have to make sure that you can check both boxes. Number one, that using the bottom half of this chart, that there's a reason why there's no technical history of yichud, baila bi'ir, shnei nashim shem, whatever it is. I have to, number one, know that the situation that I want to find myself in is not a violation of yichud. That's necessary but not sufficient. I also have to ensure that it passes the mechura hadavar test, the tova shmur. If it's neither yichud nor inappropriate, so then the situation is permissible. So those are the first two elements in terms of the additional dimensions. The other two elements are points that we have not yet discussed, as I mentioned before we're getting started, which next week we'll have a shiur to discuss a number of the hanging threads. But just to name them for now, dimension number three is a shiur zman. Have to figure out how long a time period you need for people to be in seclusion or to count as yichud. And number four is last week schedules worked out a little different than we had anticipated. So the shiur that we would have given last week, which then we'll explore instead next week, the sugya of androgynous, which is sif yud beis in the Shulchan Aruch, rooted in the Rambam. So androgynous is, again, we'll get to this at great length next week, but androgynous is a person who physically shows both male and female characteristics. That's an unfortunate, a difficult situation, and one whose status is discussed widely in a variety of halachic contexts across Shas. It's interesting that a lot of the core discussion about Andronus actually comes up in and around Hilchos Yichud, and it's going to speak, obviously, to figuring out how gender issues play out more broadly in the context of Hilchos Yichud also. So again, so we have an Isra of Yichud, top half of the chart, or Isra of Yichud, which is Mitpatzel, divides into the Daraisa cases that meet both criteria of Beseser and Erva, as well as the Rabbanon cases when either it's not an Erva, the two people are not an error to one another, or it's three or more people. And the four dimensions that help to define the Isra Yichud are the Malkin Vein Osrin, the difference between possibility and probability, and the Mechur HaDavar, that added standard that you have to meet in addition to the formal Isra Yichud, and the question of time, and the question of androgynous. Okay, so that's as far as the Isra Yichud goes. That's, I think, a helpful framework for thinking about and chazrin, sort of putting together the issues that define the Isra of Yichud. Then, as advertised, most of our time we spent on the Heterim. So I think we could categorize, I tried to lay out here, 8 or 9 different Heterim of Yichud. Number 9 is also one that we have not yet really addressed, and maybe we'll talk about a little bit more next week. I think they fall into three categories. So let's begin to take a look. Hopefully the larger categories, the columns, A, B, and C, will take shape and become clear. And I tried to also on this chart, and again, I'm sorry we don't have a whiteboard so we can't do this in real time, but the chart I tried to also lay out for many of the term, sort of to sketch out what the key parts are or what the key issues are. So heter number one, first let's just sort of bird's eye view, and then we'll dig in. Heter number one is Kurova So, a woman who, she is related to him. Two people are alone, but they have a familiar relationship, not every family relationship, but a series of relationships which mitigate the Isra of Yichud. Heter number two is Baila Be'ir. I'm permitted to be misyachid with a woman whose husband is in town. That's category A. Category B, the next four or five heterim, ish kasher, ish kasher ish, that as Gemara said, shnei anashim behesti be kasher. Number four was a woman who's not just a ksheira, but specifically a woman with whom I have no iser yichud. That sort of takes me back to one and two. Number five is tinokas. Number six is any one of the chamesh nashim. Remember those the Gemara had presented in Kiddushin, rooted really in the Mishnah Yevamos, a series of five different relationships, five different pairs of women. All those particular relationships, unfortunately, lend themselves to higher than typical incidence of a negative feeling. So that's heter number six. Heter number nine, we haven't really gotten to that yet. Shtei Nashim, we'll get back to that. It's based on a sheet of Rashi, which is not universally accepted. Heter number seven is Pesach Pasuach. And heter number eight is Rabim V'Rabos. Anashim Rabim V'Nashim Rabos. Okay, so that's the bird's eye view. What are our three categories? What would you say? A, B, and C. Organizing these Teirim into so think of it maybe as there are eight or nine specific heterim, but big adol there are three heterim, or three types of heterim. Number one, sometimes it's not a problem of yichud, because I'm alone with someone with whom I have no iser yichud. He has no iser yichud with her, she has no iser yichud with him. That's category A. I have no iser yichud with certain relatives, we'll dig into that in a moment. And I have no iser yichud with a woman whose husband is in town. So that's a column A. Column B, the second type of heter, is Adish Omer. And the third type of heter is situations which are mutter. So it may be that it's not that I'm alone with a person with whom I have no iser yichud, but I could. Category A is Reuven and Eliezer are permitted to be alone because of Eliezer's identity. Category number two is Reuven and Eliezer alone be a problem, but you can add a third or fourth person in, and that will solve the problem. So, and that those shomrim are to be found along column B, either an ishkasher or an isha, not just isha ksheir, but specifically an isha 4, 5, or 6, isha with whom I have no isha yichud. In other words, number one or number two. So not only do I have no isha yichud with a woman who fits into category one or two, but her presence also mitigates the isha yichud with a second woman who's there. Or I'll add a tinokas, Reuven Eliezer plus a tinokas, or Reuven Eliezer plus Yocheved, when Eliezer and Yocheved are chamesh nashim to each other. Or finally, we'll have to get back to this, Rashi is of the opinion that although Reuven Eliezer Yocheved is generally not okay, Reuven Eliezer Yocheved and Shprinza, that's fine. Rashi thinks that a man is permitted to be alone with three women, without any particular identity, just the numbers. So in other words, one additional woman doesn't serve as a shomeris, but adding a pair of women, Reuven and Eliezer, plus two other women, that they would serve as valid shomeros. And then C, category C, with the situational heterim. Either it's a situation of Pesach Pasuach, the situation is accesses public space sufficiently, or within this room, without being sheirim, and therefore they're not really shomrim, but they're just a whole slew of people in this room. And a slew of people, enough men, enough women, all in one room, that's just the Rosh Hashanah. Again, depending on who the people are, and they may not pass the Mechur HaDavra test, but all these 8-9 heterim are ways to resolve an Isra Yichud. Yeah, your question? No. Yeah.
Category A is not, it's just, I mean, category would fit into both Doraisa and Rabbanan because it doesn't meet the criteria of Yichud. Because if your Imo Vito, it just doesn't meet the criteria. Like category A could fit is more. It's not really I don't feel it's like a makel. It's just like this is what the definition doesn't include this.
Okay, so let
it's not Seiser if your husband's in the town, and it's not a krova if it's one of these people because they're not considered one of your krova.
Okay, that's...
But I feel like A is not really A is really just not saying this is an exception. This is saying this is the definition these don't include the definition. Therefore, this is not part of the definition.
Okay,
but B and C are exclusions.
Okay, it's an interesting way of putting it. Well, let's for starters, I think one of the important points that you're making is that one of the differences between A and B, if A is, you know, someone with whom I have no issur yichud, B is at a shomer, whenever B is in play, you're anyhow dealing with what's at worst in issur drabanan. Because whenever you're adding a third person, even a third person who doesn't, you know, fit into any of the categories in column B, you've already, just by adding any third person, you've eliminated the issur yichud d'oraisa. So all the heterim in category B are only heterim or level drabanan.
Right.
They're ways of solving an issur yichud drabanan. Whereas the items in category A are ways of solving even an issur d'oraisa. Because I can be alone with certain relatives, even though otherwise that would be, we're nearer to one another, mm-hmm. and it's b'seser, but because of the way that she and I are related, or because of the fact that yes, she's an erva, she's a married woman, but by the year, so that mitigates your right. So these are stronger. These are definitely stronger. I wouldn't say necessarily. It's interesting to say that by the year sort of eliminates the b'seser. Maybe not. Okay, maybe. A krova, so also you're right. Imo vito definitely is in the pasuk. So again, you could different ways of thinking about it. But again, as opposed to sort of the top half of the chart, where we're just talking about those criteria which determine whether it's yichud d'oraisa or yichud rabban. For instance, if it's b'seser, just two people alone, it could be yichud d'oraisa. If I eliminate b'seser by adding a third person, it doesn't make it mutter, but it drops it to drabanan. What we're looking at on the bottom half of the chart, are items which don't just drop it from Daraisa to drabanan, but absolutely make it mutter.
Right.
So Baal Be'ir is more than just not Beseser. Not Beseser, so it's not as Yichud Daraisa. Baal Be'ir is, well, we'll get back to that in a moment, but Babi Pashta's Baal Be'ir is actually mutter.
Then on the flip side, I would say there's also the two chumras of Yichud, which would be baderach, which is where you end up being more stringent than what we've had before, and business.
Good.
So those would be like the flip of the leniencies of like saying is in those areas you even need more strict. Like there's harder way around it.
Okay, good. Baderach balad, in particular, you're going to get that. That I sort of put on the side. I didn't mark it properly. But that's right. Bedarach balayla are items that can sort of control or constrict the entire column B. All the column B heterim, all the shomrim, always have to work around the. If it's bedarach balayla, so then you're going to be more limited. Okay, so good. So now, I guess you could.
Isn't meritas? Isn't that the?
We'll get to that presently. I guess if you want to, I guess you could. That's interesting. You could think about it as a situation. And you're in a particular with that particular situation. I guess you could. I was thinking as category A is any time you could say that I'm allowed to have yichud with this particular woman because of her identity, because of her status.
But it's not the status that creates the heter. Because Baal of the year, if her husband's not in the city, then you don't have the same woman.
Okay. That's true. A woman whose husband is in town, and therefore. Well, let's dive in. But that's fair. If you want to reorganize, I hear the reorganization. Again, I'm sorry that this is not a dynamic PowerPoint or even a whiteboard. You have it on paper, but you can take it home and redraw. Absolutely. And Eric also made the point that the question of malachto im hanashim, so that did not make it onto this chart. We have to figure out where that's gonna go. Okay, it's good. So see, this is the first draft. And Adrav, Mirchem will come back over the course of the week. You continue to chazer inside. Number one, you can add in more details to a particular theorem. You can sketch in more details. And I would be thrilled if we have a reorganization. Maybe we can have a live chart in the cloud. You can work on this as a group, by all means. Or you work on your own with the Chavrusa and bring a revised version next week. That'd be good. For now, with the static chart that we have, so let's begin to dig into the details. So now on Krova, so there are, I would say, three line items here in terms of, you know, Reuven and Eliza can have no Isra Yichud because of the way that Reuven and Eliza are related to each other. So one, and it's actually the way the Shulchan Aruch presents it, and it highlights an important point. One is Ishto Nida. We actually had discussed that early on. The Rush has some discussion that it is intriguing that husband and wife, and she's a Nida, have no Esri Yichud. It's very practical. If that were not to be the case, it would obviously be incredibly complicated on a logistical, practical level. But it is worth noting, that's the way the Shulchan Aruch presents it, that generally the Noris Yichud, again, with the exception of Kal Shapir Sanida Kogan Bir Rishona, 99.9% of the time, husband and wife, even when she's a Nida, have Noris Yichud. It's worth noting that now the Shulchan Aruch is saying, as we mentioned before, Shulchan Aruch, in that opening line here in Sif Aleph, Asa Yachim Erva Me'areos, Tadam Chutz Me'emim B'na, Avim Bito, V'abalim Ishto Nida. So that's a statement that there's no Yisrael Yichud with Anita if she's your wife. If she's not your wife, at that point Shulchan Aruch is still sketching out the Yisrael Yichud Daraisa. So the Shulchan Aruch is making a clear statement that he adopts the position of the Rambam that Nida is an Erva. That's Machlokas Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, in the first Amud of Yivamis, those quotes Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that Nida is not an Erva. Everyone agrees that there is an Issacharis. Baal Hanida is an Issacharis. On the other hand, Devon also agrees that Ben Hanida is not a Mamzer, which is of extreme importance, extreme practical importance. It means that if a couple went through a period during which they were not careful about Taras and Mishpacha, either they're Chozer B'Tshuva or the children are Chozer B'Tshuva, so there is no Pagam Mamzeris on the children. That's everyone agrees to. And on the other hand, there is an Issacharis. So usually those two things would align. Issacharis means Erva, and Erva means Mamzeris. So there is an Issacharis, there's no Mamzeris. So at least the Machlokas Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam, how do you look at the other Nafkaminas? So the Rambam says that Nida is an Erva, and Mamzeris is an exception. For Mamzeris, you require some sort of family relationship, as opposed to just her own personal status. But Nida, the Rambam thinks, is Nerva with respect to Yichud, with respect to Yehar Val Yavar, and so on and so forth. While Rabbeinu Tam says, no, Nida is not a Nerva. The exception, and that's why there's no Mamzeris, because there is Kares, but Rabbeinu Tam thinks Erva isn't only a matter of an Isser B'ya with Kares, it's an Isser B'ya with Kares, which is defined by relationship between people, as opposed to Nida, which is her own personal status, irrespective of anyone else. So one person's status. So that's why the Tam would be of the opinion, let's say with respect to Yehar Vayava, or respect to Yichud and the other Gedarim, even the Gedarim Daraisa, or with respect to Tosa talking there, the context of Yivamas, that may be relevant in terms of the status of Chupas Nida. So Lamasa, the Shulchan Aruch here, is taking the position, and the Rama does not dispute it, that Yichud Nida is Daraisa. So if she's husband and wife, it's not a problem. But a Nida with anyone but her husband is an Isser Yichud Daraisa. Okay, so that's item number one in terms of Krova. So if she's a Nida but husband and wife, so husband and wife eliminates the problem of Yichud, except, as we mentioned, the Sugi and Ksubas. The one exceptional case is if she's a Nida before they had the chance to be Rishona, Chupas Nida, so then there is a Nisri Yichud, and that requires a lot of finesse and delicacy to figure out how to solve that. And the more typical, other typical cases of Krova, so in addition to Ishto Nida, is, as you mentioned, it all begins, the Gemara and Pan Beis, all begins with Imo, Nisri Yichud between son and mother, and by parallelism, the Mishnah says, Nisri Yichud between father and daughter, and then the post can quote the Bach, who expands that across the generations also to grandparents or grandchildren or great-grandparents and great-grandchildren. Okay, and then finally the third line item in terms of Krav HaSo is Achoso. That was the sugya on Pe'alaf Amid Beis. There had been a machlokas amoroim on Pe'alaf Amid Beis, whether there's a heter yichud with Achoso or not. The Mishnah had not said anything about it. Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, says, but there's a heter yichud with Achoso, and others disagree. Shulchan Aruch does not say anything about Heter Yichud Achoso, and the Beis Shmuel says, that's because the Rambam doesn't, but the Rosh does. It's a Machlokas Amoraim in Pe'alfa Beis, apparently Machlokas Rishonim, how to paskin, the Mechaber lines up with the Rambam that there is no Heter Yichud Achos. That's what I mentioned there in the chart about Machlokas. While the certainly standard Ashkenazi Psak, and I believe contemporary Sfarad Psak also, aligns with the Beis Shmuel to follow the Rosh, that we do accept Shitas Rav Yehuda, that there's a Heter Yichud between brother and sister. It should be noted, though, that was the second piece of that the branches of Achos. So in addition to the fact that it's Machlokas Amara and Machlokas Harishonim and Machlokas on the page of Shulchan Aruch, even the Matirim, the Gemara says, but it is limited. While Imo or Bito is a full absolute heter, full heter dira, can even be a long time, a single mother raising her only son, a single father raising his only daughter. It could be a sustainable situation for years and years and years, no concern of yichud whatsoever. But between brother and sister, it's mutter on a temporary basis, but not on a permanent basis. As the Gemara said, that yichud aroi is mutter, but dira bekvias would be a problem. So parents leave the brother and sister, their son and daughter alone for a little while, a night or two, that's fine, but for this to be a long-term situation, and to take an apartment together, that is not permitted. So that's the sugya of Krova. So, yeah.
On the subject of relatives, is there any obvious reason that a heter for a man with his mother-in-law to be alone? I mean, I wouldn't think so from based on the
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, fine.
And that actually would be an Isri Yichud Arayis, huh? Even if his mother-in-law is no longer married. Because that's actually one of the arayos. That is one of the arayos. Mm-hmm. So it just means now let's go back to the drawing board. Heter number one is not going to help, but let's look at 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, and let's see what else. So for starters, again, your situation number two would be, well, a man alone with his mother-in-law if she's a married woman and by the year, so that will. That's a new solution. Baal Bir, remember, that was Se'if Ches in the Shulchan Aruch. That was rooted in a comment of a member of Rabba, the Pe'af Amun Alf. Again, the joy of this sort of Chazara, zooming out to see the forest, not just the trees. And now we can reorganize. Krova So, number one, is Se'if Aleph. And Baal Bir, number two, is Sifches, again with that suggestion that maybe we should move Baal Beer over to column C. But for now, at least for tonight, Baal Beer is in column A. And the two major issues that came up were number one, Gaspa, number two, Rashi Rambam. Gaspa, the Gemara had said, after the Gemara told us the din of Baal Beer a couple lines later, after mentioning Pesach Pasuach, the Gemara came back to Baal Beer and mentioned, Baal Beer does not apply when it's libo gaspa. If this married woman and the man with whom she is alone have a more familiar, comfortable relationship, so libo gaspa is the limitation on the heter of Baal Beer. As an asterisk, we saw a number of these heter of the Gemara will all present. There's a heter, but there's also a limitation. Right? Shnei Anashim, but not Prutzim. So here we had, well, Baal Beer, but not if it's libo gaspa.
It's also not clear if it's.
Okay, right. That's point number one, right? There was a Shita of Rashi, which Tosfos attacks vigorously. Rashi seems to say it's hard, Tosfos, they have a hard time understanding how anyone could come to that conclusion. Rashi does seem to say that Baal Beer is only a Ptur Onshim. There's no Malkum Yichud, but not if it's Baal Beer. But it seems to imply that there's no Onesh, like having a Chatzi Shir. Eat a half a kazayas of a cheeseburger, so if you only eat a full kazayas, you don't get malchus. But there's an opening sugi in the last paragraph of Yuma. Chatzishir is aser, just no onesh. It's a partial violation of the iser. So that's what Rashi sounds like he's saying. A Baal Beer doesn't make it mutter, Baal Beer just sort of dulls the iser. So back to what Eric had pointed out, sometimes you have factors that will drop you from Nisri Yichud Arayis to Nisri Yichud Rabban. It's not Beseser, it's not Mutter, but it's no longer Nisri Yichud Arayisa. So something, not the same, but something somewhat similar is going on with Lefi Rashi. It's not Mutter, I don't know if he's saying it switches from Arayisa to Rabbanan, It's hard to know what it means. Bala bi'ir, there's no malchus. As though it's like a lesser version, a lesser flavor of the Isser. And the Tosfos says it's clear from the Gemara. And again, that story. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Why were they worried about Yichud? Why isn't it Bala bi'ir? And the Gemara's solution was, well, libo gaspa. Implying if it had not been libo gaspa, and Bala bi'ir would have been in play, the Bala bi'ir would make it mutter, not just the Ptoronshir. We're talking about tzaddikim and want to keep the din. There is a sheet of Rashi which is difficult. We certainly assume that Bael Be'er belongs in this chart. Bael Be'er is a heter. It belongs in the bottom half of the chart. But Libo Gaspa counterbalances and neutralizes the heter power of Bael Be'er. How you define Libo Gaspa played into the fundamental question, Machlokas Rashi Rambam, which we saw a host of Achronim take sides either with, they don't necessarily name Rashi or Rambam, but a number of Achronim are lining up one way or the other, the way the Dvar Halacha organizes things. He doesn't put all the pieces together, but you look through, he gives you a lot of different issues, and I think they, as we discussed at greater length, they seem to line up. What was that fundamental question? The fundamental question was, why is Baal B'ir Mutter? Rashi had said, it sounds very practical, Mustafim B'Baal HaShtasi, Rashi said, Baal B'ir is Mutter, because you never know when the husband may walk through the door. You're scared. You're always worried the husband may walk in. Very, very practical, very pointed. While Rambam says more generally, Amos Bala Aleha. And the husband's proximity inhibits her. Husband's proximity inhibits her. There are a couple of issues trying to understand Rashi. Mustafim Bala Hashta Asi, number one, that sounds a lot like Pesach Pesach, depending on how you understand Pesach Pesach. I mean, there's a chance that someone's going to walk in, specifically the husband. So maybe then we understand why Baal Be'er and Pesach Pesach are side by side in the Gemara, because they're really, according to Rashi, they're almost like basically the same thing. It's a question of, you know, depending on how you understand Pesach Pesach, they both mean, you know, a situation with a real possibility that someone pops in. And besides the fact that that seems sort of limiting, but okay, maybe in a Hanami. You know, this is it's a particular flavor of Pesach Pesach. Even though the door is locked, but the husband has the key. But beyond that, beyond the fact that according to Rashi, Baal Be'er doesn't seem to have any, and doesn't seem to cut any new ground conceptually, it becomes very hard, the Chacham Zadon pointed out, to understand how the Libo Gaspa operate. Understand? So you are alone with a woman in her home, the husband may walk in, so then Gaspa, or not, husband may walk in. So that forced Chachmas Adam, who did want to adopt Rashi, to try to work hard to redefine Libo Gaspa. Just means that it would be surprising if he's around, not loved after they're friendly, but that Libo Gaspa means it's not surprising that he's around. And it's always very difficult. Pashtus is, and there certainly are significant Achronim who seem to line up with Rashi. In addition to Chachmas Adam, Chafetz Chaim and some of his Sfarim, Moshe Feinstein and the Tshuva. But we said the preponderance of Achronim seemed to line up with the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the language of the Rambam. The Chazon Ish, the very strong proponent of the Rambam. The Chazon Ish's line was, Baal Be'er is a nerve. Baal Be'er is a feeling. It's not a specific, practical, something may happen. He may walk in the door. It's more a general sense. It's an inhibition. The Chidah took that approach. Others take that approach. We saw a host of nafkaminas. Take Rashi's approach, the Baal Be'er is only when you're in their home. A woman at home with a husband may pop in, and if a woman is elsewhere in town, the Baal Be'er is irrelevant according to Rashi. Or if she's at home but she knows the husband isn't coming home in the near future, he just called, he's stuck in traffic an hour away. He just called, he's about to go into surgery, he's about to start a meeting, he's about to walk into court, whatever it is. So if she knows that he's tied up, so Rashi would say, well, then it's irrelevant. Baal Be'er is irrelevant. And the definition of Be'er, that's what Moshe Feinstein spoke about. According to Rashi, and in this context, Moshe Feinstein appears to adopt Rashi, according to Rashi, Baal Be'er means nothing to do with an ear. Ear, if it's a little city, so anywhere in the city would be a short trip home. But Moshe says, now we're no longer in Luban, some shtetl in Russia, now we're in New York City, in transmetropolis, even just across a fraction of Manhattan. It says you have a wife is at home in a tenement, the Lower East Side, the husband is working a couple miles north, not so many miles north, in the garment district, but it's going to take an hour to get home, the trains, this, that. So Moshe said, then there's no heter bal beer. You're in the same city, but city means close. Moshe came according to Rambam. According to Rambam, it doesn't matter the husband's act, doesn't matter if she's at home or elsewhere, it doesn't matter whether the real possibility the husband could come or she knows that he's tied up. And ear means ear, presumably. It's a sense that the husband is proximate, the husband is nearby, he's not on the other side of the world, he's not far away. So that already has a natural inhibiting impact, and we understand also libo gaspa. Baal de'ir inhibits, and libo gaspa disinhibits. We're comfortable with each other. So then it sort of counterbalances the beneficial psychological impact of baal de'ir is going to be undone, at least partially undone, by libo gaspa. It's undone enough that whatever remains isn't enough to create a heter yirsha. So that's column A. Krova. So, and Isha Shabbat, questions? No. Okay. And now moving on to column B. So the Mishnah already, it's worth considering. The Mishnah itself, I think when you begin to organize things like this more, you also appreciate more of the elegance of the architecture of Mishnayos. Yehuda Nasi was seeking to, wrap his arms around the totality of the Tarshal Peh, all the Dinim, and the way the Rambam describes it, Rambam describes in the Hakdam to Pirush Mishnayos, there was this period of calm during the lifetime of Yehuda Nasi, period of calm vis-a-vis the Roman Empire, a period of religious tolerance, as the Gemara talks in several places about the very positive relationship between Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and Antoninus. And the Rambam talks about all the other qualities, unique, special qualities that Yehuda Nasi brought to the table that allowed him to gather all the Chachmei Hador, let's gather all the tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, of records of statements of Tanam over the last couple of generations, and let's put together a Kitzur, which is going to be the Mishnah. So once you start thinking about organizing the Hetayim of Yichrim this way, so I think it's you look back even at the Mishnah with a fresh appreciation, because the Mishnah itself, as we saw, not every din, not every heter of Yichrim makes sense to Mishnah. It's Pes Pasuch is in there, Baal Be'er is in there, Achoso is in there, but you're already seeing two of the categories. In other words, one category that appears is Imo Bito Ishto. So that's Krovaso is certainly a member of column A. And the Mishnah also begins already to speak the language of Shomer. You have an extra person. Sometimes the extra person will not just reduce it to Rabbanan, but absolutely be Matir. Who serves as a Shomer? So number one, the Mishnah says one more Ish, meaning a total of Shnei Anashim, Isha Achas. That means Reuven and Liza plus add someone from column B. Add one Ish Kashim. And that had been the discussion, you remember, that Rishonim had based on that story of Pe'al Fomidav with Rav and Yehuda. Rav says, I'm not a kosher. So the Rambam had been of the opinion that was to be taken literally as a normative statement, and just about no one's a kosher. And that is the position that Machaber quotes, Shulchan Aruch quotes that, but the Ramah points out the vast majority of both Ashkenazi and Sephardi Rishonim understand that Rav was being machmir, but stam on Hashem Ksherim. There are plenty of Ksherim, a person who keeps the dinim. A tenuah person who keeps the dinim is a kasher. So adding one more man, Reuven Aliz alone is usher, but add Shimon, he's a kasher, that's mutter. If I want, instead of adding Shimon, Reuven Aliz plus Leah, then Leah is going to have to meet more of a standard than merely kshera. And that was what the Gemara had said. Adding Leah, that does reduce you to drabanan, but Chazal still forbade it, because Nashim, Gemara and Pei'ah Yom is Nashim Dait and Kalos. Adding a second woman does certainly reduce the risk of the seclusion leading to an act of znos, but it doesn't reduce it enough. Just given the psychodynamics of how these situations usually play out, adding a second man will be even more inhibiting than adding a second woman. So any second man who's a kosher already eliminates the Yichud entirely, not just Minatar, but even Drabban. Any second woman, she'll have to be more than just Sheva. On Pei Aleph on the days, Rava had told us points 5 and 6. If she's not only a second woman, but she's a tinoka, she's in that in between age where she's old enough to understand, but young enough to not be particularly interested. So then she's unlikely to be a participant. Then it's her presence is matter l'dam, right? Or the second woman that you're adding has a potentially negative relationship with the first woman. They are chamesh nashim to one another. So that added factor eliminates, really drops the risk of znus so low that there's no esyuch even drabbanon. Or, according to most poskim, said Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Rav and the Chazanish, all willing to be matir against the zechor l'avraham quite a bit, pizchetshuva, number 4. That if I'm adding not just an isha k'sheira, but a woman with whom I have no esyuch, she, if you wanted to, you could add some arrows here. Hetter 1 and 2 feed into 4. Once I know Isser Yichud with Yocheved, because Yocheved and I are husband, wife, mother, father, daughter, etc., or because Yocheved is Baal Be'ir, so now do I know Hetter Isser Yichud with Yocheved, but then Yocheved and Aliza together also is Matashir, her presence even eliminates the Isser Yichud with Aliza. The same logic as Tinokas. The same logic as Tinokas. Again, Zachar Rama disagreed. Zachar Rama thought that I could be alone with a relative, with a grandmother. I could be alone with a woman with Baal Be'ir, but her presence doesn't mitigate this yichud with the other woman if a man's alone with two women. And one of his rayas, the Dvar Halacha pointed out, one of the rayas to that, those who, like the Zechor Avram, would strike Heter number 4 from the books, is, well, look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Ishto Imo is Mutter. I can't be alone with two women, but my wife is one of those women, that's Mutter. Why do I have to say Ishto Imo? Why not say Imo, Bito Imo? Ishto is probably the strongest Shmir of all. So that was a rye to Zechor Avram that Heter number 4 doesn't exist. And the counter argument for the Rav and the Chazanish and the Rav Moshe, the Heter number 4 does exist. So why are we talking about Ishto Imo? Why are we talking about Ishto Imo? The answer was that takes us back up top to this meta factor that Baderach Ubalayla. You need twice as many shomer. That's what we had said. But Derech HaBalayla, you have to have two people, you have two men and women, you have to have three men and women. Meaning, Reuven Aliza, instead of Reuven Aliza plus one ish kasher, Reuven Aliza plus two Arashim Kshayim, or presumably plus two women who are Baalei and Ba'ir, or one man and one a couple. So it's you add a couple, a married couple, so then they're valid shomer. He's a second ish kasher, and she's a ishish Baal Be'er. As a matter of fact, her husband's right here. Or two tinokos.
We had machlokas tinokos. There was one sheet that said one tinokos. Okay. Then we have a machlokas with a derech about whether.
Although we had discussed is if you think about that marshal, that baderech is different than this baderech. And that baderech. It was a different consideration. It was a different concern. Maybe they'll run to the side. But again, general baderech or balayla situation, people may fall asleep, or people are sleeping, or a situation where you're in the wilderness and someone may have to excuse himself for an extended period of time. So maybe you have that sort of situation. So then you need to have two added shomer instead of one added shomer. And then here's the. Yeah, but the sub branch over there. So normally you need two such shomer instead of one such shomer, but derech b'layla, except for ishto. That's what the postman pointed out. Maybe the reason why the Mishnah specifies ishto imo, why do you have to go so strong? Just say bito imo. No, bito imo is fine during the day, but the Mishnah is talking about b'layla. You need to add two shomer, not enough to have one shomer. Except for Ishto is adequate shmira even by Laila. And that's the defense of maintaining heter number four does exist. The heter number four, like three, like five, like six, work by Yom, but by Laila need to be doubled. While Ishto, Shmiras Ishto, that even by Laila does not need to be doubled. To be a Reuven, Eshes Reuven, and Aliza is mutter even by Laila. That's what the Mishnah says B'Tayrish. Yishenima Pundakim. The Shmiras Ishto is stronger than any other Shomer. Even is effective Balayla without any other additional support or Shmir. Well, one added asterisk. I could step back for a moment to column A, to chapter number one, before we turn our attention to column C. Just to one additional piece. If you're sort of branching off all the added pieces, we had discussed, this is relevant to the second and third line items in Krov Asau, and when you talk about family relationships, blood relatives, so there is a discussion amongst the postkin, how does it work if there are relationships in love but not in blood. There is adopted parents and children, step-parents and step-children. There could be a fantastic, hope there is, a emotionally warm and fantastic relationship, and that there may be, you seek to cultivate like a real sense of a parent-child relationship, a real sense of a sibling relationship, but it's not, strictly speaking, it's not a blood relationship. So the postkin do have a discussion. You have these situations of blended families and adoptions. There'll be a lot of sensitive, delicate shayos that have to be handled by someone with a sheilas chacham, someone who has a vast halachic knowledge and an incredible wisdom and sensitivity. One of the main shayos that will come up is how to navigate yichud. The postkin do debate that. I think Lubavitcher Rebbe was famous for assuming that it needs to be a blood relative. I think most postkin disagreed. Again, there's also a question, different situations are different. Someone would want to look at how old were the children when there was this relationship was formed. There may be a difference between adoption of an infant versus adoption of a 15-year-old. But that's an important aspect of the Krov Asau conversation. One other point that we had mentioned is that there is a minority view in Rishonim that Achoso is an example. There is a minority view of Rishonim, more than one, I think Tosa Rosh and Yermei Ruch maybe, who assume that it could even be that some of the other blood relatives are also, maybe an aunt. They also have no Esri Yichud. It's not what we usually assume, but Le'eis HaTzorech, in the real Shasat Chaks, it's worth making a She'el Shacham. To see, is there room to make? You had mentioned before a son-in-law, mother-in-law. I think even the Mekilim are only Mekil on blood relatives. I think if it's not a blood relative, if it's an in-law relative, I don't think even Tosa Rosh or Ben Yeruchim will be matter in that situation. Then we turn our attention to...
So yeah. In-laws are more machmir than step... Because you said there are posting that the stepchildren might also be okay.
Yeah, because you're seeking to cultivate a brother-sister relationship. You're seeking to create a parent-child relationship. It's not automatically by blood. On the other hand, you're creating that type of emotional reality. Again, that goes back to why is it that there is no Esri Yichud? Emu Bana is an erva. It is an erva relationship. Avu Bito is an erva relationship. But because that family in the context of that family relationship in a normal healthy situation there's no taiva. So that's why there's no asriha. Right, exactly. The Gemara Sanhedrin about how they dampened the Yitzhahara. Right. So the Gemara said exactly. Eishes Ish and Nida, those Yitzhahara are as strong as they were during the Bais Rishon period, but the Yitzhahara for incest was blinded. As it were, the Pesukim Zechariah, I may actually get to that, maybe, in the context of the Wednesday night Nachshiyum. That's what the Gemara said, you're exactly, Yuma Sanhedrin, La Nigger Inish Bekrevte, Chad Achikneze Gedola, succeeded in really putting that in again, for the vast majority of people, normal, healthy situations, it isn't really a Yetzirah for Krovos. So that's why there is a minority opinion in Rishonim. Maybe Achoso is an example of, more broadly, the non-parent child blood relatives. Maybe. Again, I don't think we usually accept that halacha, but L'shas HaTchak is worth asking a shayla. And that's why also is rooted in that psychology. So that's why many poskim assume that if you create that relationship, particularly if it was that way for when a child was very young, so even though it isn't formally a blood relationship, in other areas of halacha, you wouldn't necessarily say it's the exact same din. But here it's really a question of psychology. So if your Baruch Hashem succeeded in creating that type of family relationship, so even though it's not by blood, but it's by love. So you're a mother in love, if not a mother in blood. Okay, so that may well be equally effective in terms of yichud. Let's turn our attention finally, in the last couple of minutes, to column C. Pesach Pasuach and Rabbim and Rabbos. We had seen the Gemara had said right after on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, right after Rabbi tells us the Baal Be'ir is Mutter. Rav Yosef tells us that Pesach Pasuach is Mutter. That's the test. We had neglected to name the Sifim for the last couple of Heterim. Ish Kasher was in Sifay. Ish Mutter is Labayuchah. That's a discussion in the Noah Sekel. Tinokas and Chamash Nashim, those were both in Sif Yud. Shtei Nashim Blina, we'll get back to next week. That's Ramah and Sif Hed. Now I come to Sif Tes, column C, Heter 7, Pesach Pasuach. So a couple of questions in the world. Pesach Pasuach and Chamash Nashim. So one question was, what's Pasuach? Another question was, what's Rosh Hashanah? All the basic elements there. So in terms of what's Rosh Hashanah Rabban, that's the most salient point that the Barhetiv quotes from earlier, that it needs to. It's not a question of my. In theory, my house is wide open to the street, but the street is deserted. The street is deserted. That's not mutter. That may be rooted again. It's a Barhetiv quotes from Achronim, kind of like Dola, I think it's a Gemara. It's really. That's the story of Rav and Rav Yehuda. They're worried about Yichud, even though they're out in the great outdoors. Obviously, one of the many halachic implications of that story is that just being outdoors doesn't necessarily eliminate Yichud. Yichud doesn't require walls. Yichud requires seclusion. So if you're in the great outdoors, but this is a remote part of the nature preserve, rarely people on these trails, so then it will be Nisr Yichud. Or if it's on a street, but it's not a well-traveled street, at least not at this hour of the night. So that's not Rosh Hashanah. So you have to be over in Vashavim. It has to be every, I think, Dvar Halacha quotes every 5-10 minutes, something like that. People are randomly walking by, a little bit more, a little bit less, in that zone. There are people walking by. And the other major question in terms of definitions was, what does Pasuach mean? That we saw was the Pesachei Tshuva quoted, a vigorous machlokas achronim, rooted already in Rishonim. Does Pasuach mean, how you read it, Yerushalmi, does Pasuach mean wide open or Pasuach as opposed to closed? Or Pasuach means unlocked as opposed to locked? Two different definitions of open, of Pasuach. And what that speaks to conceptually, just the fact that the door is unlocked does not magically eliminate Issur Yichud, even according to the Radvaz. But the idea is not just that it happens to be unlocked, but that practically speaking, there's a real chance that people will pop it. Because the door is unlocked and you live in a place where people try doors and come in, knock and come in, or because, as Shibin Rav points out, because you set it up, you invited people to come by randomly during this period of time. So that's the lower level, that's the lower standard, the Radvaz. The higher standard, the more machmir standard, is that of Rabbi Kiva Eiger and the Beis Meir, who say Pasuach has to be not just unlocked, but wide open. Meaning, not just a situation, I think Ray Nuber's Nusach for the Radvaz is a situation of uninhibited entry, the real chance that people may pop in, but more than that, anyone passing by can see you. You're actually visible. We point out that you can satisfy even the higher standard with a Pesach or with a Chalom, if you're out a window, where either of the people is visible, that would also certainly solve your problem. And in terms of how we paskin, in terms of the higher, do we demand the higher standard for Kidegan and the base mayor of actually being within eyeshot of people, or does it adequate to satisfy the Radvaz's standard that there's you're not necessarily visible to anyone walking by, but there's a real chance of people popping in? So that we said probably relates to the third open question, which is Libo Gaspo. They went back to Trumas Hadeshen, number the Nosei Kelim and Siftas quote, and argue about. And that is the Gemara that said Libo Gaspo is a limitation on the Heter by the year. The question is Libo Gaspo also a limitation on the Heter of Pesach Pasuach. That is very relevant because the most common situation of Libo Gaspo cannot, when hopes come up by Baal Beer, and that is a couple that's engaged, or that's dating very seriously. Well, presumably she's not married to anyone, so there's no Baal Beer, but there could be Pesach Pasuach. That's actually a conversation I have often, just had today, with an engaged couple, try to have with every engaged couple, that number it's important to remember that the Isser Yichud is not waived, the other Siyagim are not waived when one is engaged. If anything, you see here, that we're more Machmir on the Siyagim when you're engaged than otherwise. Because I think the standard approach is to say the machlok is over definition pasuach, machlok is over whether libo gaspa eliminates pesach, heter pesach pasuach, we'll be makel like either one or the other, but not both. In other words, if it's not libo gaspa, so if there's a real chance of the people coming in, we will rely on the radvaz, again, assuming it's also not mechura though. But once it's libo gaspa, then we would only be satisfied with a higher standing. Your mom is an eyeshot. You gotta tell an engaged couple you don't want to be with an earshot, but you want to be with an eyeshot. You want to have your privacy. No one overhears you, but anyone walking by can see you. Because that, as Rav Schechter pointed out, to say that anyone could walk in, that's they're really looking at this as a heter. It's yichud with a heter. But to say that anyone walking by can see you, that's probably more than just a heter. Not just like a factor that limits the chance of sin, it's redefined the situation as public. Anyone walking by can see you, so you're not be'ichud, because you're in public. And that brings us finally to the last point. Anyone needs to leave, please feel free. The last point was anashim rabin v'anashim rabos, and that was back in Se'if Vav. And that was based on a Rambam. The Rambam who thinks that everyone is Manazah is Prutzen, but even he says, but many men and one woman cannot have Yichud. The Gemara said, the Feresh, that many Prutzen with one woman is an Isser Yichud. The Rambam says, perhaps based on that Gemara, perhaps based on the Gemara Pe'alf Amid Aleph of Bifnim Bechutz, Rambam says, but if you have many men and many women, so then it is Mutter, even though they may be Prutzen. So that presumably also is because that situation, that's Rabbim. That's just not yichud. Again, if it's a situation of many prutz and many prutzos, it may be an inappropriate place to be, maybe a mechura adar. There's a meetup of a fraternity, a sorority, maybe 10 men and 10 women, you probably don't want to be there. It's most likely, unless this is a fraternity devoted to the study of astrophysics, it's probably a mechura adar to be in the middle of Times Square and to be in the middle of Times Square at night is probably mechur adavar. But it's not technically yichud, because there are nashim rabim, nashim rabim, it's just public. And it's mentioned in the notes that Kalem have a discussion, how many is rabim rabos? Is it two and two or three and three? And we usually assume, in the halacha, that three and three. Three men, three women together, that's already is considered to be so public that without any other factor, it's mutter. That's again, this provides a sketch, a structure that will allow us to chazer more effectively, and as we chazer to sort of fit in the details and the various machloksim, and now it allows us to chazer effectively, organize our ideas, help us to remember and help us to deploy this. And instead of just being sort of a massive dina, and you have like three categories, here particular cases and particular types of shomrim and shomros, particular situational factors. So in a given situation, I hope this makes it more of a handy toolkit. Just think in any situation. So what are the heterim? Yichud is a study of heterim. What are the heterim? What are my options in any situation? So I would encourage you to continue to chazak b'chavrusa over the course of the week. Next week in Ritzon will be our last, the net of last year in Hilchas Yichud. I'd like to do one or two things. Number one, to address some of the hanging threads. We had not yet discussed the Shir Zman. We did not yet discuss androgynous. We did not yet discuss Shtei Nashim, or Shalosh Nashim, really, but adding Shtei Nashim. The Ramah B'Shem Rashi. And Eric pointed out, in general, that brings us back to the question of Malachto, Eskor Malachto Manashim, which I don't think we ever addressed fully. So we'll address some of those hanging threads, very important hanging threads next week. If there's extra time next week, which I doubt there will be, maybe we can also sort of talk about some particular cases and applications, doctors and psychologists and so on and so forth. Again, applying this toolkit in particular situations. That would should be...
We talk about age. We brushed on it for what it's...
Tinokos.
We took it for the Shomer part, for what we didn't...
Ah, that's
for what
true.
The age of the...
That's true.
For Yichud part.
Right. True. If you want, you could put that
it's
under...
It's like Amar and Pei
under
page.
Column A. And notice Yichud right. If she's under 3, or notice Yichud if he's under 9. Right, if once there are 3 people... So then, even a Tinoka's age is very much. That's a very good point. That's a good point. Over the course of the week, you'll see what else. I would be thrilled if you have a lot of revisions. Take out the red pen or the purple pen, whatever it is, and you'll mark it up. This is the next age we had last year in Hilchos Yichud.